Blog Talk Radio.
Sometimes I go right when the right way was left. Cause the scribbles look so sad. And who says you can't win them all if you try?
Into the most powerful show for truth anywhere on the face of planet Earth and beyond. You're tuned into the voice of the voiceless. This is the voice of an entire nation. Welcome to the Star and Crescent Report. As always, we open up in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is none other than Master Farad Muhammad, the almighty, all-wise, true and living God, Allah, who has come to us this day and granted us a divine mercy and reminder in the personage of the last and most surely the greatest of the apostles, prophets, and messengers of God to ever live. We speak about none other than our leader, teacher, and guide for these final days of judgment, the most holy and humble, Elijah Muhammad. And we greet all of our listening and viewing audiences with the greetings of peace, love, and paradise in the original language of Arabic, which means peace be unto you. We say to you all in both their names with love, As-salamu alaykum. For those of you who may wish to participate in our discussion today, you're welcome to call in at 347-989-0855. That's 347-989-0855. Or you can hit us up with a message at Hiram1555@yahoo.com. That's Hiram1555@yahoo.com. As always, We'd like to thank you for giving us another hour of your day and another day of your time. We'd like to thank the thousands of you who listen live from around the globe and the thousands of you who will download us later from all of our affiliate sites, be it Hiram1555.tumblr.com, Twitter.com/Hiram1555, Facebook.com/Hiram1555, BlogTalkRadio.com/Hiram1555, and our main news blog, which is formerly TrumpetOfTruth.wordpress.com and also formerly SalaamJournal.com and SalaamJournal.org, which is now the Hiram1555 blog at Hiram1555.com. Again, my beloved family, I'd like to say to you all, Assalamu alaikum, and welcome to another edition of the most powerful show for truth anywhere on the face of planet Earth. This is the platform for black liberation and black empowerment. This is your show, the Star and Crescent Report, and our subject today is titled The Real Gangsters and Thugs, a look into the psychotic mind of American empire. So before we get into that, I'd like to say this for those of you who were looking for a call from me last night or night before last year, brothers and sisters, don't be hard on me. Charge it to my head and not to my heart. I was injured a little bit in jiu-jitsu, and I have some bruised ribs, and it has been giving me all kinds of fit. And I've been trying to recover, so please charge it to my head and not to my heart. I've been meaning to get back with every last one of you, but I'm sorry. I've been moving in slow motion. I've been really hurting. And, yes, as you know, I always say, when I'm doing good, I always tell people, hey, I'm cutting through them like a hot knife through butter. Well, the other day, I got cut through like a hot knife through butter. All praise is due to Allah for the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. So let's get into our show today. The Real Gangsters and Thugs, a look into the psychotic mind of the American empire. Brothers and sisters, I wanted to do this show because I wanted to show you the hypocrisy, the arrogance, the hubris, and the total contempt for not only you, but for their own laws and how they start a thing, they get involved in a thing, they push this thing, and then they'll move themselves, they'll disassociate themselves from this thing and put it on you, and then they'll demonize you, and you become the face of badness. The reason I'm telling you this is because of this so-called war on drugs, black man and black woman. We continue to see more money thrown into this. We continue to see throughout the local newscast and throughout the national newscast how they describe you as Hillary Clinton once described black youth. She described them as thugs and super predators. This is her term that she used. This is the term that Bill Clinton used. And now we see that Mr. Donald Trump is not using that term, but he's using the same kind of vernacular with his comrades, so that they can move against you and I. Well, who are the real gangsters? Who are the real thugs? So we got to understand what these two words mean. According to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, okay? We'll go to the dictionary because one way we can understand this is getting a definition of the words first. We have to build a base. Whenever we're talking about something, whenever we're going to converse on a matter, we must understand what this matter or what this subject or what these words or word means, right? So let's go to Merriam-Webster's dictionary. According to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, the word gangster means a member of a gang of criminals, okay? So let's look at this. Who violates international law ad nauseum, okay? Who perpetrates illegal and unjust wars ad infinitum on other people, huh? I want to lay this out to you as clear as possible, as concise as can be. And so when we're looking at these things, we must look at them in the proper manner, lest we be swept away in the lies and the deception of the mass media, especially this Western media, which is not good for anything, okay? And I also want to say this. I've been seeing dozens of callers being dropped right now, dozens of them, by Blog Talk Radio. If you are disconnected, if you're knocked offline, please refresh your screen and come back to blogtalkradio.com/Hiram1555. If you're knocked off your phone, please call back in at 347-989-0855. We're in this subject today called The Real Gangsters and Thugs, a look into into the psychotic mind of American empire. So let me just show you an example of the madness of America in the Western Hemisphere, the Western nations, the white nations. Let's call them what they are. The cold Western nation is code word for white nation. We know that. All right? So we can call, see, in this show, what we do, we remove all of the covering, all of the curtains, so that you can see things for what they really are. Now, you can choose to accept this or reject this. It does not matter. So long as we lay it down clear and concise, it is not on us anymore after we relay this message with truth to you. Let's go to Haiti for a second. And this goes to America. And we'll see if America fits this description, and we'll see if Britain fits this description, and we'll see if NATO fits this description. We're going to talk about Haiti. We're going to talk about Libya. We're going to talk about Afghanistan. We're going to tie all of these things in to the real gangsters and thugs, and we're going to look into the psychotic mind of empire. Now, Jean Aristide of Haiti, the former president, the duly elected president, I may add, of Haiti, was deposed by a sitting American government. This was, I mean, mind-boggling, because he refused to continue along the line of colonialism. He was deposed by the American government because he no longer wanted American NATO to transit their opium and their cocaine, their smack, through Haiti, so that it can get to the Western Hemisphere and vice versa, so they can take it over to the Middle East and North Africa. He also wanted to use the natural resources, which Haiti has, I mean, a huge supply of untapped oil, gas, and natural resources. He also wanted to use some of that to help enrich the people of Haiti. This was a sin to the American government and to the West. They kidnapped this man, according to their own. You can Google this, brothers and sisters. I'm not making these things up. The American government, along with her allies, kidnapped a sitting head of president of a nation, and deposed him from power because he wanted to do what he had actually promised the people of Haiti that he would do. Now, ain't nothing more gangster than that. Is that not right? What about Hugo Chavez? Huh? America kidnapped Hugo Chavez, the duly elected president of Venezuela. The late Hugo Chavez, which is one of my heroes in Western society, Hugo Chavez, they kidnapped him, and they were about to fly him out of Venezuela and impose upon the Venezuelan people the choice of the empire. But the people of Venezuela rose up and demanded his return, or they were going to tear everything up, and they were going to hold America responsible. So the people of Venezuela forced the empire to put the sitting president back into power. And they tried this again, and then they tried another coup, just like they're trying with his successor. Ain't nothing more gangster than that. To ignore the will of the masses, to ignore the desire of a nation, because you want to profit off things. You want to maintain empire. You want to be number one. You want to dictate to others and make everybody else bow to you and follow you. And if they do not, not only will you kidnap heads of state, you will assassinate them, or you will wage war on them to keep your charade going. Is that not right? Tell me what's more gangster than that. Huh? We can go to Muammar Gaddafi. Now, Libya is a drug hub today. And it's swole. I mean, it has degenerated on such a level that most could not even fathom today, from the Libya of Muammar Gaddafi. The Libya of today, the democracy that America and NATO brought to them, contains poverty and bloodshed, war and division, and a grand dose of dissatisfaction and disillusionment by the people of Libya. When under Muammar Gaddafi, according to the Western media, this dictator, right? This is what all of the Western media had. They all said this ad nauseum, all together, to beat this in your head. They can tell lies, and they will make you believe this lie. They are the people that can make you believe that your mama is a thief after they have robbed you at gunpoint. These are these people. So Muammar Gaddafi was due to receive the humanitarian award from the UN. But the UN, under America's tutelage and pressure, pushed back issuing the award for Muammar Gaddafi because America and Britain had decided to bomb the hell out of Gaddafi and France and all of the so-called European former colonial powers had agreed to bomb the hell out of Gaddafi to destroy the man-made dam, the man-made reservoir under Libya, to steal all of the gold reserves and silver reserves that he had amassed, which some people, by some accounts, that was between 200 and 600 billion in gold reserves, and I forget the amount in silver reserves, but of today, that would have been between $1 trillion and $2 trillion worth of gold and silver. The nearly $1 trillion in currency reserves were stolen overnight on the bombing of Libya. Libya went from a debt-free nation overnight after they deposed Gaddafi to being a beggar nation. No health care for the people. No free education for the people. No sharing the wealth of the oil and gas as they were getting under the Jamahiriya in Libya under Muammar Gaddafi. This is what the tyrant brought to Libya. The tyrant took Libya from having the worst living standard on earth. Go do your Googling and your fact-checking under Muammar Gaddafi. The illiteracy rate before Muammar Gaddafi was up there, I believe, at 90% in Libya. This is true. He demanded that the people get education, and education was free. If you were married, you got a stipend. I believe it was $50,000 or something. If you wanted to study in Libya or abroad, the government paid for this. You had free health care. You didn't have to worry about people like Gulf Power taking money because power bills were free. Water was free. This is what a tyrant, a dictator brought to the people of Libya. Free things. But democracy, from the barrel of a gun and a bomb, brought them poverty and misery. Which one do you want to live up under, that dictator or this so-called democracy that America brings to the people? Brothers and sisters, we got to call an ace and a spade. And I know when I'm talking to you, some of you can't get this because you've ascended so high in white society. Or you may have be doing good in white society, but you should know this, that if one of us hurts, all of us hurts. And there's no way on earth that you can disassociate yourself from the hurting of your people just so that you can live a better life. This devil will dump you just like he dumps everybody else when he's done with them. Look at how he's done Bill Cosby. Look what he did to Michael Jackson. Look what he's doing to all of these leaders and all of these people who speak out against him. Once he embraces them, then when they step against him, he demonizes them. He uses his media. And he demonizes them. And you turn against him left and right. This is you. Because he knows you're petty-minded. Right? We're talking about the real gangsters and thugs. Or looking to the psychotic mind of American Empire. Right? So, as we look at these things, don't get mad at me. And all I ask you, some of you may say, well, brother, you sound racist. Did I take somebody's land due to their color? Huh? I'm asking you a question. Did I rob a person at gunpoint due to their color? Did I wage illegal and unjust wars against people due to their color? Have I occupied and am I occupying lands around the world because I think that I'm exceptional over everybody else? Do I keep in place a parasitic system that sucks the blood and the independence from people that are not of my color for the benefit of those who are my color? Do I do these things? But whoever does those things, shouldn't they be called racist? Why do you call me racist? Because I point out the facts. And that is, you know what that is? That is tantamount to calling a person who has been victimized, or who has been raped, or who has been abused, or been deceived or misused, and they've come to their senses, and they're pointing out the culprit. Because you have fallen in love with the culprit, you excuses the culprit and his action, and you suffer from what they call Stockholm's disease. Do you know what that is? falling in love with, you will fight like hell regardless of facts to protect that. That's like an abused spouse. She knows her husband is no good. Or it could be the other way around. He knows that his wife is no good. Yet whenever you speak to him on this matter, they get defensive. They know what you're saying is right, but something is not computing up there because they have a warped sense of what these things are. And they identify more with the deceiver and the abuser than they do with the person who tells them the truth about the deceit and the abuse. Stockholm disease. This is what they have put into our minds and into our hearts. So whenever we discuss the situation, whoever discusses the situation, even if they bring facts, these are the angry people. These are the racist people. These are the mad people. Not the people that's dropping the bombs. Not the people who are issuing the policy. Not the people who are reaping the benefits off of a racist system, society, and world. But it's the people who have been victimized by the world. When they speak up about it, they are the ones who are called racist or angry or mad. Do you see that? This is how people have been robbed and spoiled of proper thinking. They've become accustomed to identifying with the oppressor.
That's crazy, right?
Well, we're living in a crazy world, run by crazy people, in a crazy atmosphere, crazy thoughts and ideas, which are pervasive today. And we have taken on that crazy mind. But today we want to talk about the real gangsters and thugs, a look into the psychotic mind of American empire. So we know what gangster means. According to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, it means a member of a gang of criminals. Now, you have Obama calling Trump a criminal. You have Trump calling Obama a criminal. You have the FBI calling Trump a liar. You have Trump calling the FBI and the whole system liars. See, this is the confusion that Elijah Muhammad said at the end of America, God would take the confusion out of the ex-slaves and place it into their oppressors for them trying to deceive you. And the whole government would be divided. The whole nation would be divided. Muhammad spoke this 70 years ago, 80 years ago, and now today we see it happening. And yet we don't want to recognize that this man spoke it a long time ago. So he said this would take place in the fall of America. So if we're seeing these things right now, happening right here, and you cannot deny that they're happening, because even the Western media is somewhat reporting on this now. There's a great divide. The people against the government against the people against the government against the government. Muhammad said that this would take place in the fall of America, and she would become more like a police state or a dictatorship. Are they not writing about this in alternative media? Are they not writing about this in mainstream media? Are not the people rising up, and is not the government of America becoming more and more radicalized and police becoming a police state, a military state? Is this not correct? So if we see these things take place, and we know that Muhammad said that these things would proceed and take place in the fall of America, where are we now in time? Where are we now in prophecy? We are living in what? The fall of who? Of what? America. And we're looking at the real gangsters and thugs. And we're also getting a peep into the psychotic mind and thinking of the sociopathic American empire. It is a very beautiful time to be alive spiritually as well as physically and be a follower of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. So we've got the definition of what gangster means. And according to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, the word thug means a brutal ruffian or assassin. A brutal ruffian or assassin. Who is more brutal than America? Huh? Who is a more ruffian than America is? Who assassinates more people than America does? Domestically and internationally. Who does that? According to, and we're trying to get this guy on. We're working. We're trying to see if this will work out with scheduling. Sometimes they tell me it's scheduling, but I know it's way more than that behind the scenes. But we may have. And I'm not promising you this because I know they'll tell me one thing and then I'll get a private message and they'll say, Rashid, I'm sorry, but we had to cancel this and we had to do this. But a former Colonel Larry Wilkerson, who was the Joint Chiefs of Staff for Colin Powell. We might have him on in the coming weeks or so, okay? So, but you need to listen to what he says about the situation, about American Empire, and how she is now in a position now where she must acknowledge her wrong or she must fall. Right? Chalmers, what is his name? I forget his name. Chalmers. His last name is Chalmers. And he has a book called Blowback. And he's talking about what must come to the empire, what must come to the Western world for all of their policies against other people. Did you know? And let's look at this right. America is in what? Well, this is what they're reporting. Between 135 and 140 countries right now, in some capacity. She's in that many countries with her military. There's only 204, 210, something like that, nations on Earth. And she's in 135 to 140 plus nations. Is this not an empire? How can you justify your military being in so many nations? Well, we're fighting terror. Well, how did the terror come about? Well, as Hillary Clinton said, we must admit that we were the ones who armed, financed, and helped the Taliban. We were the ones who armed and financed and helped Al-Qaeda, right? We are the ones who armed and helped and financed ISIS. So what we're looking at is a blowback of their policies. And then when the policies start to bite them in the butt, they blame everybody. But what they're thinking in political makers have done to bring this about. They want to blame you. They want to blame Islam. They want to blame blacks. They want to blame browns, reds, well, whomsoever they can to get the blame off of themselves at that moment. Those are thugs. Those are ruffians. Those are sociopaths. This is the American empire. So we're looking at whether it be in the military sphere or whether it's being in the drug sphere. Remember, we just talked about Mr. Aristide. The man is so popular and hated that when they kidnapped his brother, the people protested for years. I didn't say for days. Did you hear what I said? The people protested for years for the return of the duly elected president, Aristide. They would not allow Aristide to return to Haiti unless he signed a document saying that he would never return to Haitian politics. The Western world made him sign that document. And if he had broken the document, according to what was said, that they had the right to kill or assassinate him. Is that not? What's more gangster than that? I'm going to go in your house, tell you how to run your house affairs. I'm going to kidnap you out of your house. I'm going to beat your family up, rob them, and then I'm going to make you sign a piece of paper that says if you go back home to help your wife, your children, your brothers, your sisters, your mothers, your fathers, your nieces, and your nephews, I'm going to kill you and them, and I'm going to take the house and the property within. What's more gangster than that? What's more thuggish than that? Huh? Come on, talk back to me. 347-989-0855. What I do, brothers and sisters, is present facts. And I always say, if you have something to dispute what I say, you are welcome to rebuff and rebut anything that I say. But if you don't, please listen. I know that I may come off as passionate, but I love my people. I love my God. And I know that it is our time. You know, the Bible, and there's an old saying that says, there's no weapon that is as powerful as an idea whose time has come. God put an idea out when he spoke about we would go through slavery, we would go through all kinds of things, but in the end, we would persevere through all of this. And God said that in a certain time, that it would be time for the dead and God to rise. So now we're looking at this certain time that the dead and God, he's not talking about getting up out of the graveyard. Your grave is your ignorance. Your grave is your savagery that you have accepted of this society. And God is now awakening you out of that with wisdom, divine wisdom that touches your soul. And as you can see, whether we have knowledge or not, we're reaching for self in some way, shape, or form. You see the rising. You see the rebellion. You see the marching. All of this is some form of reaching out. You cannot stop an idea whose time has come. And this idea that the black man and woman in America and around the globe no longer live on their knees but stand on their feet has come. And no deception, no amount of war, no amount of backdoor politics, not politics, but politics, will stop what God has ordained. That's why I tell you often that it is a very beautiful time to be a follower of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. So I want you to see just how gangster, just how thuggish those men and women on Capitol Hill are. Right? The past, and the present. I want you to see just how gangster they are, okay? So, I want you to listen to this. And let us see, this is 3 minutes. And I think 40 seconds, something like that. Listen closely to what is being said. 3 minutes.
In July of 2012, a spokesman for the Chihuahua state government in Mexico said the U.S. Central Intelligence Agency doesn't fight drug traffickers. They merely try to manage the drug trade. The spokesman said if they destroy the drug business, the enforcers would no longer have jobs. WikiLeaks released internal communications between the U.S. and Mexican governments showing that the American government calls the shots in Mexico's drug war. Claims that the American government are involved with the drug trade are nothing new.
We're also involved in smuggling drugs into this country. As ABC's John Martin reports, there are a lot of questions about who really was involved and why.
Two men in jail in Miami awaiting trial, an air charter company owner and one of his pilots, say some countries sold drugs for weapons. The pilot, Gary Betzner, is a confessed, convicted drug smuggler. In a statement, he said he made 3 drug deliveries for men his boss told him were Contra officers, backed by U.S. agents.
I do not deny that as a pilot I smuggled my share of illegal substance, but by the same token I also smuggled my share of weapons in exchange for those illegal substances. With the full knowledge and assistance of both the DEA and CIA.
American troops in Afghanistan have also been guarding the country's opium fields used in the production of heroin. According to the United Nations Drug Control Program, opium cultivation in Afghanistan increased by 657% in 2002, which was shortly after the NATO occupation of Afghanistan.
Yes. Joining us from Helmand Province is Geraldo Rivera. Good morning to you, Geraldo. Tell us what you've seen during your days there in Afghanistan.
In some ways, the Marines' brilliantly executed invasion of Marja, this town in the middle of Helmand province, was the easy part. The hard part now is governing this province, a province, as you suggest, that has become addicted to opium in many, many ways. That is the principal crop that is being grown here. The Taliban lend the farmers the money. They are indebted to the Taliban. They have to grow the opium. Now the Marines, in their success, are in a sense a victim of their success, because now the population is, they have these opium fields, and we are tolerating it. We are tolerating the cultivation of the opium because we know that if we were to destroy it now, the population would turn against the Marines and it would be a real security risk.
The recent Fast and Furious scandal, where members of the U.S. government were found to have sold guns to Mexican drug cartels, could be another example of the American government controlling the drug trade, though the case is still ongoing.
2011. Listen to this interview the President of the United States, not the Attorney General, the President of the United States, had with CNN Espanol back in March.
I heard on the news about this story that Fast and Furious, where allegedly guns were being run into Mexico and ATF knew about it but didn't apprehend those who had sent it. Eric Holder, the Attorney General, has been very clear that he knew nothing about this. We've assigned IG, Inspector General, to investigate it.
You realize that the federal government has essentially been arming these cartels. What goes through your mind?
We feel it's a betrayal. 42,000 people have been killed, and these weapons that our own government facilitated to these violent criminals in Mexico 200-plus people we know have been killed by them. So there's responsibility
plus.
For that. 200-plus. And we also now have our hero in the Border Patrol. As you know, Agent Brian Terry killed on American soil. Three guns have been found at the murder scene. All three of them were connected to this program. And so for us, I'm fearful, not just my deputies, other officers, citizens in America.
So I want to ask you something. What's more gangster than turning the truth upside down? Look how Geraldo tried to justify the increase in poppy fields. Under the Taliban, I may add, that opium in the poppy fields were nearly 90% eradicated. Now, he used this, he says, they're indebted to the Taliban. So they are allowed to grow poppy fields. I thought you destroyed the Taliban. I thought that you were in control of Afghanistan. If the Taliban no longer has any power there, then what the hell is the justification for you allowing the people to get this stuff to pay them back for? Huh? Do you see how they lost so much, and then you just take it hook, line, and sinker? You don't even think things through? And also, according to the latest statistics of the opium field, in Afghanistan, the opium has increased by over 5,000% since NATO, listen to me good, according to the UN, since 5,000%, I just played you a clip from back in, a little bit after Obama came into office, but according to the UN report, 5,000% since America and NATO liberated Afghanistan. Do you see the trend here? What's more gangster than that? Huh? Now, the opium also accounts for 90% of the world, the entire world's opium trade. Is that something? They're doing this right under the occupation of America, right under the occupation of NATO. Afghanistan has no military cargo planes. They have no submarines or no warships because, remember, Afghanistan is a landlocked nation. So how the hell is all of the opium coming out of Afghanistan if America and NATO are in control of Afghanistan and in control of the poppy fields? Talk back to me. Huh? This is not rocket science. So if 90% of the world's dope, the opium dope, is coming from there, and it is under American and NATO tutelage and authority, then we have to come to the same conclusion that it is America and NATO who are the dope smugglers, the dope traders, the real gangsters, and the real thugs. So this thing has reached such a level that Russia deployed weapons, warplanes, attack helicopters, and troops to their bordering nations of Kyrgyzstan and I think Kazakhstan and all of the nations that are bordering Afghanistan, because Russia has become the victim of an opiate war, just like China has been under Britain, and now both Russia and China are wars that has been imposed upon them by true gangsters. You see that? So China has had enough with it. I bet you this. China deployed, I think, either a squadron or a battalion of troops, armored vehicles, and attack helicopters, not to the border with Afghanistan. They are in Afghanistan. They said if America and NATO cannot stop this, they're going to do it, because it is threatening the stability of the Chinese nation. You see this? Tell me who real gangsters and thugs. Come on, talk back to your boy. 347-989-0855. We got to do this way. We have to show you this. And we're going to let you hear what they have to say about this stuff, because you're not getting this in the media. And we look the other way. And these wars here are about money and power and geopolitics. This opium, this dope, all of this stuff. This is about the CIA and all of these so-called intelligence agencies of the Western world. They need covert funding so that they can continue to colonialize non-Western states and continue to have funding to destabilize these nations. You just see how all of this is connected, and this is bringing the people to a point of explosion and close to war on their borders. And this is brought to you by the real gangsters and thugs. All praise is due to Allah for the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. What we want to do is show you that these people are insane, and they will do anything and everything to continue to destroy the sovereignty and the independence of not only nations that have land borders, but the people who are nations without land borders. This is what they're doing to America, the blacks in America. How have asked these questions when you're talking about, and no judge asks these questions, no jury asks these questions, right? No prosecutor sits down and rationalizes these questions when they're locking you up for a life sentence, when they're throwing out 20 and 30 years like they're throwing out bags of candies at Mardi Gras. How in the hell is the dope getting in America when black people don't control the borders? How in the hell is it getting in the black communities when we're powerless because you run the police force and the councils and all of these things? We don't have submarines, cargo planes, ships, train lines. So how in the hell is it making its way from Afghanistan and South and Central America into the black community? And along with this comes violence and destabilization and division in the black communities. Huh? The judge never sits down and asks these questions. And then you have the politicians who know what's going on because they are allowing this. They have, that's why they have what they call secured meetings. When they have it off record and off television, these are briefings, intelligence briefings, that they brief the senators and the congressmen and women with. And this is what they know for a fact, but they don't tell you this. And then they go right back and act like they're so outraged with the crime, so outraged with the dope and the guns. As a matter of fact, there's not one black company in America that provides guns or manufactures guns, but they continue to get smuggled in the black community, right? They don't go to the root of it because they're the root of it. What they're doing is using these things. They're killing two birds with one stone. They're flooding your community with drugs and guns. You kill your people or you get them addicted to dope. They can put you in jail, or you shoot one of your own people, then they can shoot you or put you in jail. They're killing, they're using that great old divide and conquer technique. And it goes from the top down and from the bottom up. Because none of them are addressing the main root. And if they know the problem and refuse to address it, then they are part of the problem themselves, right? Is this not correct? This is logical and simple thinking. So, again, the politicians enact these harsh laws, three strikes and you're out, right? They enact these laws where if you pick up a gun, you go to jail, even though that Constitution tells you that you have the right to bear arms. It didn't say if you was a convict or not. It said that you had the right to bear arms, right? But you don't have that right. So they implement laws to keep you from it. And if you get one off book, I'm going to give you 20 to life. Do you see this? This is how they set you up. And you don't sit down and you don't think, because you're too focused on madness. You're too focused on your own life when so many of your people are suffering at the hands of these brutal beasts, the real gangsters and thugs. And we're looking into the psychotic mind of the American empire. So they implement these laws and these policies against you. They demonize you in the media and in the movies. They glorify violence and sex and guns and killing and robbing and stealing. They put it in the music, they put it on television, they put it in the magazines, and they put it in the newspaper. Knowing that you don't have the proper education or the wherewithal mentally to be stable in such an unstable environment, you get hooked on it and you start living that life, which ends up being your death or somebody else's death, and then you wind up in jail or dead. And they continue to impose this thought, this mindset on your people. And then it looks as though, oh, my God, those thugs over there. When the real thugs reside at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue and Wall Street and the Federal Reserve and all of its branches and all of these banks like Chase and Bank of America, these are the true gangsters and thugs. These are the launderers of the dope money and the gun money. These are the drug runners, Obama, Holder, Clinton, Bush, all of these are the true gangsters and thugs. So when we look at this, it ain't about your pants sagging, right? No, because that don't don't hold or wield any power. It's those who make up these policies and push their enforcers of empire to maintain empire at all costs. So when they make these policies, see, we're going to think rationally. What did the Bible tell you? Come, let us reason together. To reason with one must use these faculties that God gave you. One must use your senses and to look at things in a rational manner and weigh these things, right? And come to a logical conclusion or hypothesis. Is that not right? Huh? So when we look at all these facts that are being presented, you got to admit that the real gangsters are not the ones hanging out on the corner. These are peons out there. The real gangsters are the ones that's winning power and making whole nations fight and get dissolved and overthrown to push off an agenda of empire. Is that not a true thug? Huh? Let's go back to what the word gangster means. A member of a gang of criminals. America's government is what? Not one person, but a whole government of what? Criminals. It is corrupt to the core. The policymakers and the policies that they made and the enforcers of those policies are corrupt to the core. Is that not right? So they fit the description of what? Being what? Gangsters. And if we look at the definition of thug, a brutal ruffian or assassin. Don't nobody kill, assassinate, overthrow, destabilize, break up families, governments, nations, leaders, and tribes like America does. Is that not right? Come on, talk back to me. 347-989-0855. Don't get mad at your brother. Be glad that your brother is addressing a much-needed subject today. The real gangsters and thugs are looking to the psychotic mind of the American empire. So when the policymakers enact these laws to put you in jail, when they enact these laws to keep you subjected to their brutality and their desires, and then they demonize you for the dope and for the gun, they never once ask, well, where's all this coming from? Why? Because they know well where this is coming from. It's coming from them. This has been the theme all along. You know how they talk about Pablo Escobar, one of the biggest dope pushers. You remember a man with Noriega of Panama. When they kidnapped him, they got mad at him. This is what happened. He had a deal with them, with Reagan and Bush them. He had a deal with them. See, this is why you can never trust this devil, boy. And he was pushing dope up so that they can make money. Reagan was making money and all of this stuff like this. And they told him to do a certain thing, and this certain thing he didn't do. So they used the media to demonize him. Then they went and kidnapped him from office. Went and kidnapped him and put him in jail. And they kept his testimony behind, they call it classified testimony. That's when they don't want you to know that he's finna drop the dime on them. But some of it got out anyway. And Noriega said, well, hey, yeah, I might have done all this stuff, but I was doing it under the direction of the CIA. They told me if I did this and this, they would leave me alone. And I can have me some money, and I can enrich myself, and even help my country a little bit. So all of this was left out of his trial. And the man had been held captive. But this is what you do when you make the deals with the devil, right? And so Pablo Escobar, the same thing. All of these dope dealers that you see being apprehended today, they crossed the CIA black budget money. And so the CIA became enraged and used the Western media to demonize these people. And I'm not saying they shouldn't have been demonized, but I'm saying that if you're going to do it, demonize the CIA and all of the dark drug and gun runners with them, right? But they didn't do that. So Mr. Escobar was demonized, and then this gave the military and the CIA this justification to go and apprehend this man. But now his son is talking, and his son is saying, hey, my dad works for the CIA. He's written two books on the matter. And remember, I forget, the one former CIA man who finally came out and started presenting proof that the CIA was flooding the black communities with guns and drugs and stuff, and all of a sudden he suicided himself. Huh? due to depression. He suicided himself in the midst of this finding. Is that, man, I tell you, this devil is something else. But that's what I'm talking about real gangsters and thugs. This is how they operate. Won't you listen to what they're saying about Pablo Escobar? All right? Here we go. Hopefully, here we go.
Well, now we turn to a shocking revelation about the world's most powerful drug lord. In a new book, Pablo Escobar's son claims his father worked directly for the CIA in the big business of drug trafficking. RT's Marina Portnaya brings us the details.
Notorious drug kingpin Pablo Escobar amassed an estimated $30 billion fortune by operating a drug cartel with customers all around the globe. At the height of his career in the 80s, El Patron reportedly supplied about 80% of the cocaine smuggled into the United States, a powerful reign allegedly made possible by a powerful silent partner no one would expect. According to Escobar's son, the Colombian drug kingpin worked directly for the CIA, selling cocaine to finance the fight against communism in Central America. Juan Pablo Escobar elaborates on his allegations in his second book, Pablo Escobar Infraganti. In a recent interview, Escobar's son said, quote, what the CIA was doing was buying the controls to get the drug into their country and getting a wonderful deal. My father was a cog in a big business of universal drug trafficking. Unquote. By partnering with government associates like the CIA, Escobar's son claims his father was able to skirt the law, which ultimately allowed the Medellin cartel to smuggle cocaine into the U.S. on a daily basis. If the allegations are true, it could mean U.S. intelligence officials were covertly fueling the cocaine epidemic while Washington was simultaneously cracking down on it through its war on drugs. Former DEA agent turned whistleblower Celerino Castillo was part of the agency for 12 years, a time during which he gained a deeper understanding related to the war on drugs and U.S. involvement in the Iran-Contra affair. This is what he told RT in a previously aired interview.
We were the enemy. We were the ones that were involved in sleeping with the drug cartels. We allowed, once again, those third world countries to supply drugs to the United States, and on the return trips, were bringing back weapons, which became known as the Iran-Contra operations to finance the, for example, the Contras in Nicaragua,
mm-hmm.
To try to defeat Daniel Ortega and the Sandinistas. But we also, to make money on the covert operations that we were running down there, actually we allowed them to deal in drugs into the United States. And that was when we cornered the market in the crack epidemic back in the 80s.
23 years following Pablo Escobar's death, movies, books, and even a TV series have documented his lucrative and powerful rise. However, all the key players who allegedly aided El Patron may not necessarily receive public credit. Marina Portnaya, RT, Miami.
You hear what they said? They cornered the crack market. And they flooded the inner city with crack, cocaine, heroin, and all types of drugs. They used the money that they were siphoning out of the black community to fund the Contras. This is where you have this Iran-Contra affair. This is where you have Ali North. You remember Ali North, the guy, the commentator on Fox News who is referred to as a hero? My memory is a little bit longer than that. When he was called before the congressional hearing and he couldn't remember anything according to his own. Now, he can remember everything today. But he couldn't remember nothing when he was called before the congressional hearing. I don't recall. My memory fades me. I don't know. He was covering for Reagan them. He said he got his orders directly from Ronald Reagan to do what he was doing. And when they were getting ready to try to go for the impeachment of Reagan, he lost his memory, he said. He didn't know what was going on. These are the real thugs and gangsters. How can you go from being a dope dealer and pusher and a murderer of people and then get you a rated TV series on one the highest rated so-called news station of Fox News? You was a traitor according to the law, right? You went to prison according to the law, and you're a hero to America for selling out their national interest. Man, come on. Come on, black man and black woman. You got more sense than this. These are the real gangsters and thugs. So they flood our community, destroy our unity, destroy our love for one another, and we have more love for everybody other than ourselves. And it's sickening sometimes. When you sit down and talk, we can rationalize our friendship with everybody else. We can rationalize our love for everybody else. But we don't take the time out to sit down and rationalize why I hate my brother over there, why I hate my sister over there, why I got beef with this brother. The beef that we have with each other should be minute in our thought, in our mind, in our heart, compared to the hatred we should have for everybody that has done and is doing things to keep us divided. But we don't look in matters like that. We're too petty with stuff, right? We'll hold a grudge with each other forever, and then you'll have the next person, I can't stand that nigga over there. And then, why? Oh, I don't want to talk about it. Well, if you didn't want to talk about it, why you bring it up? Now you are imposing your wicked thinking on somebody else. And then they may take that and say, well, I don't like that person over there. And somebody down the line said, why? Well, I don't want to talk about it. And then this is the same thing. We're stuck in that cycle. And then when you talk about white people, the first thing you say, oh, not all white people, man. You go to bat for them, but you won't go to bat for your own kind. You're suffering from Stockholm Syndrome. Look that up, black man and black woman. Look it up. So we see that they imported the opium, which is they turned into heroin, the crack and the cocaine and all of these, and the guns, and they put it in our community. Now they make the laws to punish you for having the crack, the cocaine, the heroin, the speed, and all of these other synthetic drugs and the guns, right? And they wash their hands clear, and you become the thugs. You become the gangsters, but you don't own no cargo plane, no boats, no submarines, no trains or transit lines, and you do not control the borders. You mean to tell me America, which has satellites that can pinpoint a dime from space, can't pinpoint cargo planes and ships and trains and people crossing the borders with dope and guns? Come on, black man, that don't even stand. That can't even stand the muster test, brothers and sisters. You know that. But, and some of you don't like what I'm saying and don't like how I'm saying it because it throws your reality upside down. Because when I come to you like this, I'm coming to you full speed, head on, and I'm not allowing you time to run out of the way of this true freight train. You're going to have to make up your mind right here, right now. And you're going to have to say, well, you know what? That is the truth. He's presenting facts. And you don't like that because facts show you yourself to yourself, right? But this is the blowback of some of their own policies. Listen closely to this.
Shocking numbers out of the U.S. Centers for Disease Control. From 1999 to 2015, the number of people who died from drug overdoses tripled. RT's Trinity Chavez has more. Drug overdose deaths are increasing across the nation, but a new report from the CDC highlights recent trends in drug overdose deaths, and what they found may shock you. The CDC found that more than 16 out of every 100,000 Americans died of a drug overdose in 2015, compared to just over 6 in 1999. Almost half of these deaths were caused by heroin and other opioids. Dr. Caleb Alexander, a co-director for the Johns Hopkins Center for Drug and Safety and Effectiveness, said, "Each year, I think it's hard to imagine it getting much worse, and yet last year, we had the highest number of deaths on record." But it has, and the numbers only continue to grow. Drug overdose deaths increased from 1999 to 2015 in all age groups, but adults between the ages of 45 and 54 had the highest death rate in 2015. The data shows that overdose deaths have risen among whites at the rate of about 7% each year, compared to with 2% a year for blacks and Hispanics. The rate of fatal overdoses for whites in 2015 was nearly 3.5 times the rate it was in 1999. Fatal overdoses are becoming so common in the U.S. that they're driving down the average life expectancy of white Americans. Dr. Edwin Salsitz of Mount Sinai Health System here in New York City said life expectancy of whites in America is going down, whereas it's not going down for other racial or ethnic groups. Accounting for that lower life expectancy is the increased number of overdose deaths from opioids. The overall number of deaths caused by opioid overdoses has quadrupled during the same period. Beyond opioids, cocaine was responsible for 13% of fatal overdoses in 2015, up from 11% in 2010. Heroin also accounted for one quarter of the overdose deaths in that same year, only confirming what has been widely suspected about the increase of this ongoing opioid crisis in the United States. According to doctors, in recent years, prescription drug abuse has reached an all-time high, forcing drug makers, pharmacists, and physicians to crack down using certain methods like closer prescription tracking or tamper-resistant forms of medication so they can't be crushed or altered in any way. Reporting in New York, Trinity Chavez, RT.
So now what you have is blowback. And white people are starting to become more addictive, and they're becoming the main users of the dope. And they're becoming the main people who are dying from the dope. And this has the people frustrated, but this is the blowback of their policy, right? Now, if this is the case, according to what they said, and more white people are dying, and more white people are purchasing, right? And then there's another study that comes out that says white people are... Now, this is their studies. Now, this is not mine. I think it's four or five times more likely to be in possession of drugs when they're stopped by the police than blacks. If this is the case, if they're becoming the ones with the drugs, and they're becoming the drug sellers, and they are the drug pushers now, also now, and they are the roundabout end users, then what the hell are they militarizing your neighborhoods for? And why are they always bothering you? You don't see them out in Scenic Heights. You don't see them harassing the white people walking down Scenic Heights in all of these so-called secluded neighborhoods. But they're in your neighborhood constantly, bothering you. You see, this shows you the mentality of the people. They have to do this against you. This is something that is in their policy. And some of you just don't get it. And it's sickening that you still refuse to accept this stuff, and I'm showing you the facts. It's just mind-boggling that you would prefer despair versus the truth. You would want to push this out of your mind so that you can enjoy your life while millions of your own kind suffer. That's selfish as hell. That's somebody that cares nothing for the benefit of their own kind. You know, I like to go do a lot of things. I get stressed out a lot, too, and I'm always on the go. And sometimes my body shuts down on me. People always tell me, you need to get some rest. You need to get some rest. And I'm always on the go. And there's things that I would love to have time to do. But for the benefit of 40 to 68 million of our kind, my life is a drop in the bucket for the heaven that you could receive and that you could live in. Brothers and sisters, we got to stop being selfish with each other. We got to stop this. Everybody in the world is against you and I. And we've got to stop victimizing our own kind. I mean, forget for a minute we're talking about the dope and all of this stuff. We've got to deal with the truth. And we've got to learn and understand that if everybody is against us, we got to be strong enough to be for us and move towards truth, because the thing that has kept us paralyzed is our unwillingness to accept the truth, which we could be the beneficiary of, because the time demands that the truth that has come be our salvation. But we reject it because we want to go down and we want to go to the beach and we want to go over here and enjoy ourselves in California. We want to enjoy ourselves over on an island, or we want to do this, and we want to push to the side the suffering of so many of our people. This is not right. This is not right at all. We got to stop being selfish. We got to stop being arrogant. And we've got to stop being so hard on each other. As the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, get a black man a way out. We suffering from everybody. Sometimes give him a way out. Somebody that misused you, or somebody that hurt you, or somebody that doesn't like you. Go to that person and just make that, you don't know, you might make that person day. Forgive them even if they didn't ask. Go and try to accommodate them on certain things. Talk to them. You may make that person's day. And I mean, you go out of your way. It goes back to jujitsu. We got this. We got a few black people in our jujitsu class. And this black guy, he goes out of his way. Young boy, about 28, 29 years old. I won't mention his name. he goes out of his way to kiss up to these white people there. And I noticed sometimes he and I are some of the first people in the dojo. And instead of rolling with me, some of you who know what rolling is, you understand what I'm talking about. For those of you who don't know, when you get to the mat, you get your somebody who's in jiu-jitsu, and you go to the mat, and you guys start working on moves against each other. It's almost like a little match or whatever. Anyway, and he'll be there the whole time, and he'll go to the other side of the gym to keep from holding a conversation with me. And as soon as one or two white people come in there, you'll hear him. And he immediately he switches from his normal voice to, "Hi, guys," trying to talk like them and trying to do everything that he can to assimilate with them. This is what we do. He doesn't realize that he's doing wrong. He doesn't realize that he doesn't understand the time. He doesn't realize that he's doing things to the detriment of his own self. And so sometimes I give him a way out. We should give each other a way out sometimes. Don't be hard on us all the time. Give the black man and woman a way out sometimes. Forgive those people who have wronged you in certain ways. I didn't say you got to let them do it again. I say forgive them. That doesn't mean just let people handle you any kind of way, brothers and sisters, okay? But as we're talking about the real gangsters and thugs. A look into the psychotic mind of American empire. A lot of us think that if we get black, white friends, if we assimilate into white society, if we start surrounding ourselves with white people, if we talk like them, walk like them, do what they like to do, then we are accepted by them even if we have a group of friends. And you don't realize that you're, for you to be able to do that, you got to give a lot of yourself. You have to. And you can never be totally comfortable with that if you are an intelligent person. Because Brother Rashid said this, and he and I were talking last night, and by the way, the brother was laughing at me because my ribs were killing me. You didn't get your brother no out. You just were laughing at me. But anyway, the brother Rashid said, he said as he was talking to a brother, I won't mention who it is, but he was saying, as we were talking to people, he said, why is it that the Negro can always lead y'all to ignorance, can always lead y'all to foolishness, can always lead y'all to madness, but you can't never for once get them and lead them to good. You can't never get them. You can always get in their circle, and you got to give them yourself. But when you're in the circle, they'll never give them themselves. This is true. This is us. This is how we do. And we believe that if we have one or two or three or four or five white people, we have to give of ourselves. We have to do like them and assimilate with them. This is why the Bible, God told Moses and his people to keep his people from integrating. Go, brothers and sisters, for those of you who are Christians, go read the first five books of Moses, okay? This is a challenge to you all. Not no religious challenge, but this is a mental challenge for you to get in there and read the book that you claim to follow and believe. And in those five books, first five books, God tells Moses to make sure to keep his people separate from the people of Egypt under Pharaoh. Do not integrate with them because integration brings about assimilation. This is what God said in the Bible. I'm not altering anything. This is what he said. He said, and you would start serving them and their gods and their culture, which would make me wroth with you, and I'm going to give you the same judgment that I give them. This is in your Bible. But we to satisfy our minds and our lust to be accepted in their society, we push that to the side. We justify madness. We become foolish. But anyway, you cannot put away what God has ordained. And what we're looking at today is we're giving you the manifestation, the truth of the real gangsters and thugs. These people wear suits. They're in control of policy. They're in control of monetary policies. They're in control of stability of nations. They're in control of the livelihood of countries and peoples. These are the gangsters and the thugs. These are the people who kill people in mass slaughter and genocide. Miss Hillary Clinton, no, Miss Madeleine Albright, former Secretary of State, when asked about killing over 1 million Iraqis, children, listen to me good. When asked about killing over 1 million Iraqi children to depose one leader, which was Saddam Hussein, a person that they helped get to power. But when he bucked up against them, they wanted him gone. To depose one leader, She said, and they asked, they said, well, what about the millions who suffered and who died over those years? And what about the millions who was killed in the deposing of Saddam? She says, I believe it was worth it. That's what she said, a sociopath. The killing of millions of children was worth it to depose one leader. Is that not sociopathic? Is that not psychotic? Is that not the sign of a real thug and gangster? Huh? Well, you're getting a look at the psychotic mind of the American empire. This is what we're showing you. But we'll go to something else. I want you to listen close. I'm trying to bring something to you, and then we're going to transition. But all of it will be connected, okay? And brothers and sisters, please don't think harsh of your brother. When I deal with you all, I just want to give you the truth. You know, Saladin used to always say, brother, when you receive truth, you give it the same way you receive it. Don't add nothing to it and don't take nothing away, because God will hold you responsible for that, brother. And, brother, you don't want the wrath of Allah on your back, brother. And so I take that to heart in my head also. So when I'm talking to you, brothers and sisters, this is why I always come with proof. I always come with clips and writings and UN surveys. I'm trying to show you. I'm trying to prove to you, beyond a shadow of a doubt, what I'm saying is the truth. Other people don't do that. They offer you innuendo and hearsay and what they think and what they believe. But today, that is no good for you or I, because too many lives are at stake. And we're looking at the fall of America and the Western system, the white system. Go ahead on and say it like it is. Some of you don't like to say it, so you prefer to say Western because you're scared they might say that you're racist. Well, if you want to use that term on me, which is not, how can I be racist when I'm not a race, when I'm not a part of a race? I'm a part of a nation. And we are the black nation. We are the aboriginal nation. We are the Asiatic black nation. We're not part of a race in the classical sense of what the word race means. So how in the hell can I be racist? Racist is for people who are racist. We didn't come from anybody, but everybody came from us. Okay? But if you want to look at it through a simpler term, what do you call a person who enjoys cycling and runs and gets on their bike and they cycle for miles, right? And what do you call a person who is born and bred to play the piano and their love and passion is for that piano? And what do you call a person that plays that guitar with all his might? You call him a guitarist, a pianist, a cyclist. Well, I love my people with all my might. And if you want to put that brand, that title on me as racist, that's a badge of honor for me, because I know better. I know that how in the hell can I be racist? Huh? This is something that has seeped into the mind of you all. Before we go to this is something that has seeped into your mind. You have been listening to the TV and you've been listening to your radios and you've been reading this dogma that they put in your head and your mind. How in the hell can you be racist when you are the butt end of racism? You have received nothing but racism your whole life. So if you hate somebody because of their color, it's not because of your racism, it's because of what you have experienced and what your people have experienced. And you have every right and justification to feel that way. You didn't go and enslave them. They did your people like that. You didn't set up policies and institutions and enforcements against anyone else. But they did you and your people like that. So you have every right to be mad as hell. You have every right to dislike a people who have done this to you. And you say, well, these children coming up, they have nothing to do with that. Yeah, but those children will be the same children that are sitting in power and that will oppress and oppose my people, my children. So I have every right to hate that. Right? Is that not correct? Real gangsters and thugs are looking to the psychotic mind of American empire. So, what I want to give to you is the truth, without addition, without subtraction. And I want you to pay close attention to this next clip about Afghanistan. And remember, this clip is a few years old. So, I could have played the up-to-date clip, but I'm playing this clip here because I want you to think about what they're saying a few years ago. And think about how it has metastasized today. This, I'm trying to get you in the mind frame to understand what is actually taking place and what is going on against you, especially with these policies being enacted domestically against you, black men and black women. If we're going to say somebody racist, go tell the people on 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue about that. Okay? So listen closely to this.
Afghanistan's drug trade is flourishing despite the 11 years that have passed since the U.S. kicked off its operation Enduring Freedom. Even with the Taliban forced from power, the illicit industry is still killing thousands of people around the world. Maria Finoshina examines the deadly multi-million dollar trend, rather, which shows no signs of slowing down.
One million people around the world, all dead due to Afghan opium. And that's in just over a decade from when the U.S. led its Enduring Freedom campaign to rid the country of the tyranny of the Taliban. While the regime came crashing down, it was quite the opposite for the drugs trade. And with Russia now ranked the highest consumer, that's got the authorities worried.
Seeing how heroin production in Afghanistan has risen dramatically since Operation Enduring Freedom was conducted in 2001, it's 40 times higher now. Any impartial observer would admit that the international community has failed to rectify the situation with drug production.
In effect, Russia's drug control chief has described production in Afghanistan as planetary, and the figures prove it. Illegal opium farming in Afghanistan since 2001 has been on a constant rise, increasing by 20 times in the last 12 years. Afghan count and narcotic officials say this spring an estimated 157,000 hectares of land are being illegally used to grow opium poppies. That's the size of a major European city like London. In each of the nine growing seasons, there has been more opium poppy cultivation than during any single year of the Taliban's rule. The fields have expanded everywhere throughout Afghanistan. In the south of the country, the rise was not dramatic, but that's only because these regions have remained the biggest drug-growing areas, so there is simply less room to expand. In the country's east, bordering Pakistan, the land seeded by opium poppies is now 10 times larger. This is just one of the country's many gates from where Afghan drugs pass through on their way to every part of the globe, to Pakistan, Iran, Middle East, Turkey, Central Asia, Russia, Europe, Central, Eastern, Western Europe, Africa, and both Americas. Interestingly, in 2011, officially, the country exported $376 million worth of fresh and dried fruits, spices, carpets. For that same year, the UN estimates the country's opium income stood at $1.4 billion. The lion's share of this money obviously goes to district officials, insurgents, warlords and drug traffickers, while the Afghan people get instability and poverty instead. A third of the country's 35 million strong population is jobless, and more than 12 million people live below poverty line. It seems the U.S.-led Enduring Freedom operation all those years ago has left the Afghan people with more than freedom to endure. Marie Finoshna, RT, Moscow.
Isn't that amazing? That's the freedom that they brought Afghanistan. And now this stuff is creeping over the borders of other nations. And then you wonder why that Russia did over 250 military drills last year. I didn't say two military drills. I said 250 in just the southern region of Russia. You know the southern command of Russia is responsible for Central Asia. That's what for the south and southeastern blocks. For those of you who know a little bit about geopolitics, if you go to the map, you'll see what I'm talking about. And Afghanistan falls right in that area. They've done over 250 military drills last year. They said they are planning to do, listen to this good. I'm not saying two. I'm not saying 27. I'm not saying 207 or 270. Russia plans to do no less than 2,700 military drills this year alone. And I want you to understand the magnitude of this stuff. Because it takes millions and millions of dollars for each military drill. It takes a lot of time and effort to do these drills. And why are you honing your skills and why are you doing more and more military drills? You don't do these things unless you see a threat coming. Right? Is that not right? So something major is coming. Something major is underway. And so you see the Chinese ambassador say, we're going to work in concert with Russia in the geopolitical international sphere of things. Remember what Messenger Muhammad says about, where's my fall of America? Let me read it real quick. I'm looking for my fall of America. Let's go to chapter 47, 48. Come on, brothers and sisters, y'all roll with me for 1 second, since it's on my mind right here, and we're seeing what's going on. See, sometimes, as I said, for those of you who don't know, sometimes when Allah gives me something in my head, I have to go to it to show you. Remember that Russia and China are uniting geopolitically to push back on American intransigence and geopolitics. You see how all of this is connected to the dope trade of what's going on and what's forcing their hand, and you see how all of this is intertwined with the politics of things? This is what I'm telling you. You cannot separate these things. So you're looking at what's going on your block, and you don't realize why your block is in such a hellish condition is because of what's going on in Afghanistan and what's going on in Colombia and how they're pushing dope and drugs and weapons in your community. All you're thinking about is down on your street, and you're not realizing the root of the problem. But Muhammad says, America, let me go back a little bit. He says, now it is the hand of God which is after America to force her into submission, a hand from which we have no defense, as it is written and prophesied in the Bible under the name of Babylon. Jeremiah 51:25. Behold, I am against thee, O destroying mountain, saith the Lord, which destroyeth all the earth. And I will stretch out mine hand upon thee, and will roll thee down from the rocks, and will make thee a burnt mountain. Jeremiah 51:53 says, though Babylon should mount up to heaven, and though she should fortify the height of her strength, yet from me shall spoilers come unto her, saith the Lord. These spoilers, these nations, these people that would be uniting against America in the backdrop of American intransigence and how she's trying to maintain her will and her power over the world. The prophecy says that God would raise up spoilers to the empire. Then he goes and says, America is under a destruction similar to that of ancient Babylon. In the Bible, Jeremiah, Isaiah, and Revelation of John prophesied concerning her, Babylon. Their mention is a future Babylon and not a Babylon of the past. Excuse me, brothers and sisters, my voice is getting a little broken, but please pay close attention. America has enslaved all the so-called Negroes. Now, listen to this. He goes from God and prophecy doing what he's doing and how God would sends spoilers from himself, and then he goes and he transitions back to you. America has enslaved all of the so-called Negroes, and her evil mistreatment of them is similar to ancient Babylon's enslavement and treatment of the Jews, according to the scriptures. It took the hand of God to bring the king of Babylon and his people into submission to the power of God. Stop right there. America, though she's losing her sway economically, that ain't stopping her from going up against her creditor. China isn't. It's not stopping her from pushing China and being provocative with China. A nation that has an equal or greater military force than America, Russia, it's not stopping America from sending troops to Russia's border, and they're having war games as we speak on Russia's border. This is a provocative act. Just imagine if Russia or China had war games with Canada on America's northern border or on her southern border with Mexico. This would be a declaration of war. This would be tantamount to a declaration of war. Yet she feels that she can do it to everybody else. The intransigence, the hubris, and the arrogance. So Muhammad says, it took the hand of God to bring the king of Babylon and his people into submission to the power of God. How did God do this? Listen, God does this in a specific way. How does he bring America down? Listen to what he says. He brought the surrounding kings and their power against ancient Babylon in the prime, in the height of her glory. The handwriting on the wall. I was reading an article last night and early this morning where they were talking about, it was on Russia Insider, excuse me. It was on Russia Insider, I believe it was. I believe that was the news that I was reading. I could be wrong with that, but I believe it was on Russia Insider. But anyway, they were saying that how America's intransigent policy has done more to remove suspicion between Russia and China and to unite them to collectively move together against America in the economic sphere, the monetary sphere, the political and the geopolitical sphere. And they said that if America had not overthrown Ukraine, government, the elected government, this would not have happened. And then after America overthrew the Ukrainian government and then blame Russia, boy, I tell you, this devil is a liar, and blame Russia for what she did and impose sanctions on Russia for what she did, and Russia needed trade, Russia would not have ever removed those suspicions between her and China. And because of expediency, Russia and China had to both overcome their doubts with each other and had to work in tandem to try to rebuff the American empire. So I'm reading this article, and I said, man, this is what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was talking about. He brought the surrounding kings and powers against ancient Babylon in the prime, the height of her glory, the handwriting on the wall. This is what we're seeing. This is scripture opened up. This is the revelation of the real gangsters and thugs. This is a look into the psychotic mind of empire and the blowback effect of imperial hubris and policy. This is the fall of America. Before we go off there, I want to close shortly, but I want to bring in, I see Brother Rashid's hands up, so let me go to the lines and bring my brother in. Brother Rashid, I say unto you, As-salamu alaykum.
Walaikum salam, brother. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I can hear you very well.
Speaking of Babylon, brother, I think this devil reporter, Daryl Issus, had a...
Could you speak up now? It sounds like you're going to the background a little bit. Uh-huh.
Speaking of Issus, right? This devil reporter, I think his name is David Issus, something. He had a program talking about in France, there's an old ancient, Mason temple. And in the, France, in this temple, it's got a statue called the Goddess of Babylon. Goddess of Babylon is the Statue of Liberty. The white man know who Babylon is. It's America. Isn't France the one that gave America the Statue of Liberty?
Yeah.
So that's who the Goddess of Babylon is. Question among white people who Babylon is. But you gotta, like you said, you gotta explain such things to our people, because our people are just as dead as a doorknob. We know nothing and think we know everything. Anyway,
yeah.
Brother, I'll let you go on. I don't want to keep you too long. I'm Lincoln.
Walaikum salam. Thank you, my good brother. Now, brothers and sisters, I'm trying to explain to you these things in simpler terms to show you. And you can't refute nothing I'm saying, because everything I've played to you was from them. These were their findings. This is what they have said. All right? These are published reports. So if we know this, and they're still incarcerating you at record rates, right? Now think about it. I want to go to this. I want to just say this. I want you to look at just how racist. You're talking about I'm a racist. You're talking about, Uncle, I ain't locked up. I have not locked up nobody. I have not violated the human rights nor the civil rights of anybody. Right? I have not enacted any policy that would put anyone else at a disadvantage. Right? So let us look at America for a minute. Let us see if she's racist. Okay? America has 5% of the population of the people on earth, 5%. She always talks about other people's violation of human rights. And she has a report that goes out every so often where she talks about human rights and the great violators and perpetrators of human rights, right? Did you know that this nation, which only comprises 5% of the total population of the planet earth, it's the largest incarcerator of people on the planet. Did you know that? The so-called land of milk and honey and freedom. It's the largest incarcerator on the planet Earth. She incarcerates more people than Saudi Arabia. She incarcerates more people than Iran. She incarcerates more people than China and all of the Middle East combined. Did you hear what I just said? Combined. This is her. The so-called beacon of hope and light and freedom incarcerates more people than most nations combined. She's only 5% of the population of the planet Earth. Let's look and see if any racism up in there. 5% of the population of the planet Earth. And out of this, she incarcerates 25% of the total population of the incarcerated on the planet Earth. So she accounts for 1/4 of the total people who are incarcerated on the entire Earth. Oh, 190, excuse me, brothers and sisters. I got it. Look, I told you my throat is like messing up with me a little bit. But listen, she is incarcerated. Excuse me. She's incarcerated 1/4 of the people who are incarcerated on the planet Earth. And out of that quarter that she has incarcerated, some numbers say 70, some numbers say 90. We'll go in between that because the truth lies somewhere in there. 80% of the 25% of the total people that is incarcerated in America are black people. That's not racist. Huh? Especially when you just heard the fact that white people are more likely to be stopped with drugs, but black people are more likely to be arrested, and they are more 4 to 5 times more likely to have drugs on them. Four or five more times likely to sell drugs. They're 4 or 5 times more likely to use drugs. Yet, the incarceration number doesn't reflect that. So you tell me I'm racist. Negro, get out of here with that foolishness. I know you don't like facts, but we bring nothing but the facts. Nothing but the truth. Nothing but the truth. Brothers and sisters, look forward to seeing you Thursday. If you get a chance to go to the Hines 1555 blog, donate. We need every penny that you can give to us. Help us get this truth out and continue going with this show. And the only way we don't have a live show is something comes up that's life-threatening or a blog talk blocks us. Brothers and sisters, with an undying love and passion for the liberation, the upliftment, and the redemption and freedom of 68 million of our kind, first here in America, and then the billions around the world, know that your little brother Rashid Muhammad loves you more than life itself. But the love that I have always pales in comparison to the love that Almighty God Allah, in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, to whom praises are due forever, his messenger, the last and the greatest of the messengers of God, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, and that mighty, mighty, mighty nation of Islam has for you, brothers and sisters. Until we next meet again, stay strong, stay true, but above all, stay righteous. I love you all, brothers and sisters. Remember what we talked about.
For information on our next show, please visit trumpetoftruth.wordpress.com and click on the Blog Talk Radio button. Until we converse again, always remember, no matter how low society may have rendered you, the wisdom of the one true God will lift you on high. May God bless and keep you. The Star and Crescent Report was created and directed by Rashid Muhammad, produced by Nicole Muhammad, and hosted by Rashid Hiram, 1555 Muhammad. Have a blessed day.
That I like the mood I'm in.